Go back and tell the others. Then get ready to go in after full dark.
Sharp was wearing a dark suit with narrow pinstripes of lighter gray. Beneath it, he had on a t-shirt with a picture of a revolver and a message that said, New York, Kansas it ain't. His own satin-finished Ruger GP-160 double-action revolver was jammed casually into his belt.
A pretty vest, Baron. Guess that must be a pre-dark replica.
Why?
Because it's a sort of reference to the Wizard of Oz, and there haven't been any yellow brick roads since the nuke cost, have there, Baron?
I have no idea what you're droning about, old man. The shirt was brought to me by Joaquin a month ago from some newly discovered ruins. What you say might be true, I don't know, and I don't care.
I always said that conversation was killing the art of eating.
Not that the food was any better than the rest of the meals they'd been offered in the Ville. The meat in an overcooked stew had disintegrated into a dark sludge, and most of the vegetables had melted into the liquid. It was utterly impossible to try to guess what sort of animal had provided the base for the stew. There was a side dish of chopped greens that had barely been shown the steam from a cooking pot and were inedibly raw. Doc had sliced into his blackened roll to find that the inside of it was a runny, watery dough that trickled out onto his plate. For dessert, the women servants brought in platters of fruit, waxen apples that looked wonderful and tasted like cotton, plums whose interiors revealed tiny, mealy grubs, white with crimson eyes. The beer in pitchers was warm and sour. During the meal, with Joaquin seated at one end of the long table opposite his master and the others placed along the sides, there was no conversation at all. Jack had chosen to sit next to Emma and held her hand throughout the dire supper. Each door to the dining hall had a pair of armed guards, and four more had escorted the trio down from their locked room to the first floor. Sharp suddenly threw his goblet across the room, where it smashed in the vaulted fireplace.
I had thought that the red-headed woman was possibly a mutie. There was something about her that whispered to me of power lying close beneath the skin.
His melt-water eyes turned to Jack.
An albino, rare as unmined gold, white hair and skin and eyes like rubies. Surely someone that would grace my collection. And perhaps you still will, boy.
Don't call me boy.
Call you what I like, boy. Call you mine if I want. So shut that white-lipped mouth. I'll decide soon enough what I want from you.
Emma stood, the legs of the carved beechwood chair scraping on the stone flags of the floor.
I won't tell you.
Sharp smiled, his brutally handsome face relaxing for a moment.
Very good, my dear. Oh, that is so good. You knew what I was about to ask you.
Yes.
Joaquin.
Baron?
It was a tornado?
Biggest twister I ever seen, Baron. We were lucky to avoid it. Came swooping down like the wrath of God.
Sharp smiled at Emma.
The wrath of God! The seventh seal was opened. A darkness upon the face of the earth. The horsemen bringing pillage and pox and plague and destroyers of the world. And you, little lady, saw it all.
Emma had hardly touched any of the food. Now she sat slumped, not looking up, seemingly unaware that Baron Sharp was talking to her.
Baron's speaking to you, Emma.
Sharp glowered at his sec man.
I expect that visitors prefer to listen to the organ grinder and not his monkey. Joaquin, no need for interruptions.
Sorry, Baron.
Jack stood and confronted Sharp.
Emma don't care to speak to you. Nor me, nor Doc. Let us go. Or kill us. Ryan be around as soon as he knows you holding us. It's a bad move, Baron.
Cheeky whelp. Good flogging for the white hair, Joaquin. Next time he speaks without being spoken to, strip the pallid flesh from his white ribs. Set the white blood flowing.
Leave him alone.
Emma was standing, still holding Jack's hand in hers. Sharp's milky blue eyes locked with her golden stare.
Yes, well, a true doomy and seer. I have seen men and women and puling children who claim to be doomies. They saw through a glass darkly. You are pure, Emma.
Let Doc and Jack go. and I'll do what you want. Stay with you and tell you what you want to know.
What do I want to know, little lady?
Same thing everyone wants to know.
And that is?
The manner of your death, Baron.
Don't talk to him, child. Your gift is from the Almighty and shouldn't be brought into town and peddled cheap off the back of a wagon.
Sharp stood and pointed an accusing finger at Tanner.
Your life rests on a steel blade, Dr. Tanner. The only way to save yourself is to close your mouth and keep it closed. Emma, if I release these two, then you'll be content to stay with me?
It is for such a short time.
Emma's eyes seemed to be looking within herself.
Such a short time.
But you'll tell me anything I want to know. Anything at all. Will you?
No!
But Emma smiled at the Baron. A smile of empty menace.
Yes. Yes, I will.
Beyond the reflecting windows, Jack could see that it was already full dark. His guess was that Ryan and the others, assuming that they had survived the murderous Twister, would probably make their play during the hours of night. He had briefly entertained the small hope that he might see a sliver of a chance to try to escape, taking Doc and Emma along with him, at least getting away into the farther rooms of the house to try to draw some of the guards away and make it easier for Ryan to break in. But Joaquin and his men were too well trained, too alert, and there was only Doc's rapier and his own hidden knives against the array of firearms. After the meal, Sharp had walked to the main door from the dining room without a backward glance. He paused and looked across at Joaquin.
The time has come to show them the rest of my collection, don't you think? Well?
Sure, Baron. All three of them?
Why not? Yes, all. Jack for his hair, in place of my son and heir. Doc for his moody way of talk. And the prize in my collection, ace on the line. The diamond in my crown. Emma, the finest doomy in all Deathlands.
Oddly, after his intense interest in the question of his own death, Sharp had totally dropped the subject. He had sat down, his head to one side, as though he were listening to a small voice talking into his ear. As they walked out after him, Joaquin bringing up the rear with three sec guards, it occurred to Jack that they were soon going to run out of time.
We could run out of time double quick.
JB and Ryan were crouched close together, flattened against the back wall of the vill. The darkness had covered them so far, but there was still the pacing sentry and the locked door. Ryan drew the panga from its soft leather sheath and gripped it in his right hand. If there was silent killing to be done, then he would do it. JB had the Smith & Wesson scattergun unslung and cocked. If there were any close-contact, noisy killing to do, it was an ideal weapon with its 20-inch-long Remington flechettes in each of the 8 rounds.
Don't know what's inside the door.
They had been waiting patiently, watching the change of guard, seeing that there was an exchange of words with someone within the villa. But if it was a password, they had no way of learning it.
Go like we said.
JB straightened, pulling down his fedora to shadow the whiteness of his face. Ryan was at his side.
Yeah.
Ryan led the way along the wall, keeping close, dropping to hands and knees every time the sec man reached the far end of his beat and turned toward them. Luckily, the moon was only a fingernail of fresh-minted silver, partly shrouded by a bank of cloud, covering the bill in an impenetrable veil of darkness. The sentry was a young man, married only 3 days earlier to one of the maids who worked in the big kitchens of the vill. He wasn't due off the night shift until 3 in the morning, which seemed an eternity away. Knowing that his Molly was sleeping in a warm bed, less than 50 yards from where he was on patrol, only made it worse. The walk had become a mindless routine. His attention had drifted away to thoughts of the warm body in the warm bed. He was so locked into the thoughts of his young wife that he was totally confused by the dark figure that rose from the undergrowth near his feet. There was only one person that he could think it might be.
Molly?
Not a sound.
There were two of them. It took the sentry very little time to know who they were, the one-eyed leader of the Outlanders and his heavily armed companion. There had been talk in the vill that Joaquin had brought in 3 of the gang as prisoners, the old man, the white-haired boy, and the young woman. The one they said was a true doomy.
Is there a password? Tell me quiet as a mouse fart.
just have to say my name.